you're still finishing communion, go ahead, take that moment. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Felt like this morning there's just some sick hearts in here. Some people that they've just been hoping and hoping and hoping, and it just seems like it just keeps getting put off. It just keeps getting pushed back, put off, and they never see what they've been hoping for, what they've been praying for, what they've been believing for. And I believe this week, one of the things that the Lord was showing me was that through that moment, as your hope is deferred, there's a temptation towards apathy. There's a temptation to stop caring, to stop trying, to stop pursuing, to stop chasing, to stop running the race that you've been called to run. We got a couple of prophetesses in the house. They pray and intercede for myself and for my family as we lead this church. And I just asked them yesterday if they would pray and intercede for me as I was feeling this apathy creeping in over these last couple days. Just for some things that I've been hoping for and hadn't quite seen yet. Things that we had sown seed for, but we haven't seen the tree yet. We haven't seen the fruit yet. And I felt that. And I felt that sickness turn into apathy. And one of them, they sent me this verse. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. And then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Somebody, you just need to hear that today. I am with you, says the Lord. He's with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of the hosts. And on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. Lord, I just pray that you would stir up our hearts today. Lord, please just stir some spirits today. Holy Spirit, come do a work in us. Lord, I pray that where there's been hope deferred, that we would hold on. That we wouldn't turn to apathy, that we wouldn't let our hearts grow sick. That we would hold on to hope, that we would hold on, that we'd keep our eyes on the cross. Lord Jesus, we turn our eyes to the cross today. Jesus, please stir us up as we build your house. That's what we're called to do. Sons and daughters, we're called to build your house. Living stones. So Jesus, I just pray today that your house will be built. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Exodus 12, verse 1. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Up to this point, the new year began closer to the fall time. But now what's the Lord doing? The Lord is shifting the calendar for his people. He says, now this month, here in the spring, it shall be the first month of the year. It was when the Israelites had come out of Egypt and they began to practice Passover, and God is explaining to them what Passover will be. The springtime now marks the new year. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, oh, the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Daniel 7, verse 23, talking about the Antichrist, the devil, the beast. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. That's one of the things the devil does. He wants to change the times and the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. The new year begins in the spring. That's what we find in Exodus. We just celebrated as a church last week. We celebrated the Passover to remember the Lamb, the sacrifice that he's made for us on the cross. To remember that we're covered by the blood. Because you're covered by the blood, it says the destroyer passes over. He has no access. He has no right to you. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. That's why we sing these songs and we praise him. Because we are covered by the blood. The destroyer now passes over legally. He has no right to you unless you give him a right. He is a legalist. He is a lawyer. He will look for every loophole he can to get access to your life so that you will continue to live under the curse. That's what he wants for you. That's why we speak life. We speak truth. We recite the word back to him. When he comes and accuses us, the accuser of the brethren, what do? We answer him with the word. That's what Jesus did. Every time when the tempter came, when Jesus was in the wilderness and the tempter came, what did he do? He actually used scripture to try and get Jesus caught. What did Jesus do? He answered him right back with the word. Do you know the word? Is the word in you? The word became flesh. He dwelt among us, and now he dwells within us. Do you have the Holy Spirit today? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If not, then get filled with the Holy Spirit before you leave this place. He will change your life. He's the teacher. He will teach you his ways. He'll teach you his times. He'll teach you his law. Why does the law matter? Why does the law matter? Oh, we've been saved. We're saved by grace. Yes, we're saved by grace. And now when we live in obedience to his law, there's joy in it. There's blessing in it. That's why we live in obedience to his word. There's joy and blessing in obedience. That's what it said in Haggai. When there was a remnant, it says the remnant, they began to obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Obedience changes things. If you're struggling today with a sick heart, I would just challenge you, step into obedience. Step into obedience. And if you're struggling today with hope deferred, and you've been believing, and you just haven't seen it yet, I just want to encourage you. There's a new season coming. We just started a new season. We get caught up so often in this calendar. We're like, oh, January 1st, I'm going to start a new year. It doesn't make sense how the world does things, right? We start a new year on the coldest day of the year, in the dead of winter, when everything's dead. You can't see anything. It's wet. It's gross. It's disgusting out. You don't want to go outside. No. The Lord's calendar makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? In the springtime, in the new year, there's a new season beginning. I just want to encourage somebody in here. You've felt that sickness lately. You felt like, Lord, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. And he's been trying to get you to give up. He's been trying to get you to quit. There's a new season coming. There's a new season coming. This is it right here, right now. You're stepping into a new season. Take hold of it. What do you need for a new season? In the springtime, it says in the Bible, that's when the kings went out to war. There's a war going on in 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines versus the Israelites. There's a challenger named Goliath. What do you need in the springtime? What do you need when you're going to war? It says this young shepherd boy came to the battle lines. And he saw what was going on. He began to ask questions. He kept asking questions over and over. He wanted to see what was going on. And finally, the king of the Israelites called this shepherd boy because he heard the words he was saying and speaking. And he said, come here, bring that kid to me. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37 says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. This is what this young boy was speaking. He said, I'll fight this giant. Nobody else wants to fight this giant. I'll fight this giant. I'll go out to the battle line. Where nobody else has said yes, I will say yes. And Saul, the king, he said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put on a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone. And he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. You need some stones for battle. I just want to give you some stones today. I feel that. He went and picked up 5 stones. He only needed 1 that day. every Sunday, I'll do this thing where I'll put my notes out there. I don't do it every Sunday. I do it some Sundays. You can actually text Rev Notes to 94,000. You can get the notes that I'm looking at. And if you've ever looked at them, you kind of know. You'll look at it sometimes, and you'll see like maybe 30 scriptures on there, or 10 or 15, whatever. Wherever the Lord's kind of leading me. And if you follow along during the sermon, you know I might only get to one. I might only get to two. Maybe on a good day, I'll get to three. And I just felt the Lord telling me today, just pick up five stones. You're only going to need one. You're only going to need two. You might not need them all, but start to pick up some stones and carry them with you for battle. I just believe the Lord wants you to start picking up some stones. He wants you to start picking up some weapons. For the battle we fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of the unseen world. I just believe he wants you to start picking up some stones in the Spirit, in his word, to take to the battle line with you. Because you've been getting beat up. You've been getting tossed around. And I just believe he's got some stones he wants to give you today. So I want to give you some stones today. Stone one. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of it, from the front to the back, from the back to the front. Every word, every page is God-breathed, God-inspired. Start picking up some stones to fight. Stone two, the Word became flesh. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. These stones that you're picking up, as you begin to pick up God's word this week, and you begin to just read his word, and you just get some of these stones deep in your heart and carry them with you, the darkness can't even comprehend. When you answer back to the darkness with the word of God, they can't even comprehend. They flee at the word. Because Jesus is the word. The word became flesh. Every time you speak his word, you take authority in the name of Jesus. It's dripping in the blood. Every word from the front to the back, it's covered in the blood. Stone three. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word is a sword. It cuts through soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you're trying to walk in wisdom, when you're trying to walk and discern something in your life, first go to the word to discern the truth. There's many deceivers in this world. There's many liars. And they will come and tell you one thing. And it will feel good. It will feel true. But just because it feels like truth, just because it feels good and it sounds good, doesn't make it true. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's not true. Throw it out. That's a stone you don't want. That's a stone you don't want to carry. It's not real. There's no weight to it. It won't slay the dragons. It won't slay the giants. Don't carry those stones. Ezekiel 16, verse 1. Ezekiel said this, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Cause Jerusalem, cause my people to know her abominations. If you've been to revival very long, we tell you to take the 3-week challenge because more than likely one of those weeks, we might read something from Scripture, and it's going to offend you. Why? Because we just read right from the Word very often. And when we read from the Word, we find out, oh, there are things that the Lord says are abominations. And so you might come one week, and we might say, oh, that's an abomination according to the Word of the Lord. Not my opinion, not my feelings. No, according to his word. And so 1 week, you might get really offended. Well, come back next week. Maybe somebody else will get offended. Come back a third week. You might get offended again. And then that might be the week that you're like, this might not be for me. I might need a different house. But this is what we're called to do. You can go to a lot of churches that will tell you what you want to hear week after week after week after week. And they'll make you feel good. They'll tell you nice things. They'll tell you what your itching ears want to hear. That's not a church. That's not a church. That's just really bad therapy. It is. How many people are paying for a therapist or for a counselor, and they go and they sit on the couch or they sit in the chair, and what do they want? Just tell me nice things. Tell me it's his problem. Tell me it's her problem. Tell me it's their problem. Don't tell me it's my problem. Don't tell me it's an abomination within me. Don't tell me it's sin within my heart. Don't tell me that I need to look in before I look out. That's what the Bible does. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Word does. It cuts between joint and marrow, between spirit and soul. And all of a sudden, we're faced with the fact, maybe this is on me. Maybe I've just been looking for somebody to tell me, oh, it's that person, or it's them, or it's, oh yeah, you should leave them. You should just get a divorce, then you'll be happy. Hell no. Hell no. In the name of Jesus, I say hell no. I do. Yeah, we do. We say that in this house, and it's okay. It's okay. In the name of Jesus, hell no. If it's sin, hell no. Let me tell you something. He's a discerner. His word cuts through, and it's just cutting through today. He wants you to see the truth, because the truth will set you free. He will set you free today. That's what the word does. That's what he came to do. That's why the word became flesh. That's why the word got onto the cross and said yes to the Father. He said yes to the Father, even though he didn't feel good about it. Even though he was in the garden the night before praying, Father, if there's another way, please give me another way. But he still did it. He still did it to make a bridge between sons and daughters. And then we just keep going on, going to our therapist, going to our group of friends, saying, tell us nice things. Tell me I can keep living the way I want to live. Tell me I can keep doing the things I want to do. Tell me it's okay. I was just born this way. Tell me it's not a big deal. You're just born this way. That's the way God wants you to be. That's the way God just wants you to be happy. God wants you to be holy. What, you mean God doesn't want me to be happy? He wants you to be holy. And then you'll live in joy. He wants you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll have joy. Joy is better than happiness. Joy is better than happiness. Holiness is better than happiness. Because then all of a sudden, what happens when you start to walk in holiness? Then all of a sudden that hole in your heart gets filled. Everything you've been looking for, searching for, desiring in this world, it won't fill you, it won't satisfy you, but the bread of life, that's what he came to do. If you'll begin to eat the bread of life, if you'll begin to eat the bread that's eternal, he will change you. He will transform you. You'll get whole in a way that you never knew was possible. He'll begin to heal you. There are things that our friends and our therapists will never tell us because they're not actually filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not speaking what the Spirit is speaking. They're not speaking the truth of his word. And we will live emotionally stunted our entire lives because we've never stepped into a season of healing with the Holy Spirit, because he wants to address what happened to you when you were 8, when you were 9, when you were 10, when you were 13, because something happened. There was trauma in your life that happened during one of those years, and from that point on, you just said, this is who I am. This is who I'll always be. I'm just going to live like this. I'm just going to embrace it. Embrace your inner child, right? We hear that all the time from counselors and therapists. Oh, you just need to embrace your inner child. Do what makes you happy. Do what feels good. No, the Holy Spirit wants to take you back to that season, to that place where the wound took place. And he wants to walk you through healing. He wants to walk you through forgiveness. He wants to walk you into wholeness and holiness. And so I just believe there's somebody in here today. He's inviting you to start walking this path. Some of you, you stop in once, twice a year. You stop in at Christmas, you stop in at Easter. So I'm talking right to you right now because he loves you. And he wants you and desires you. He seeks you every day. And he's just waiting for you to say yes. He's waiting for you to say yes. Because what you're doing is you're getting a little bit of bread and a little bit of the living water, and you're eating one meal a year. Some of you, maybe you're doing really good. You're eating once a month. Like you come to church, I come to church once a month. I'm doing pretty good. Some of you, you're eating twice a month. I come to church twice a month. I get a little bit of the bread. I get a little bit of the blood. I get a little bit of the living water. And then I'm good. I can kind of do what I want the rest of the month. I can kind of do what I want the rest of the year. We wouldn't do that with actual food. We wouldn't do that with actual water. You would die, right? Your spirit is starving. He wants you to get planted. This is a new year. This is a new season. He wants you to start right now. You got a new year. You got a new season ahead of you. Will you say yes to Jesus today? Will you say, I want to get planted in the house of the Lord because I want to be fresh and flourishing all the days of my life? Will you say yes to Jesus today? And I'm not just talking, oh, you start showing up every Sunday. I'm saying you start showing up and meeting him every day. You start eating the bread every day. You start drinking the water that never stops, that never runs out every day. You start meeting with him at the well every day. You start sitting at the feet of Jesus every day and just spending time with him. All of a sudden, what's going to happen? You're going to get healthy. He's going to begin to heal you. He's going to begin to make you whole. Everything you've been lacking, everything you feel like you got this hole in you. Yeah, it's because you don't eat. It's because you don't drink. You're spiritually anorexic. Some of you, you're spiritually bulimic. You come to the house of the Lord. You hear his word. You eat the bread, and then you go back on Monday, and you throw it up. You vomit it out. You're like, I don't want that. And then you come back again next Sunday, and you eat, and you're like, oh, that's good, that's good. Yeah, pastor, preach, pastor. Come on, pastor. And then you go back on Monday, and you're like, ugh, that's gross, right? Isn't that disgusting? You don't want it. You don't want it. Just begin to pray this prayer. Lord, change my heart. Change my desires. Lord, change me. I want to desire what you desire. I want to seek what you seek. Lord, I am hungry for the things of your way. I'm hungry for your word. Just begin to speak that. And all of a sudden, you're going to come next Sunday. You're going to eat the bread. You're going to drink the blood. And then you're going to go back on Monday. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, I want more. I'm still hungry. I'm hungry for more. He's going to change your appetite. He's going to change the desires of your heart. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to. It says that in his word. All scripture is God-breathed. So that must be from him. He must have actually said that. I want to give you the desires of your heart. That starts with change and transformation. As he changes you and transforms you, your desires in your heart will change and transform, and you'll begin to desire the things he desires. And guess what? When that happens, when that change takes place, your hunger, your appetite is going to change and transform along with it. You're going to begin to desire the things of his word. You're going to stop desiring the things of this world and start desiring and getting hungry for the things of his word. Eat the word. In Ezekiel, it says, 16, verse 3, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity, that's just your birth story, are from a land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field. Imagine this, a baby just thrown out into the open field, nobody taking care of it, a brand new baby, newborn, when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I, pass by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. This is what the Lord does. He speaks life over you. Live. Yes, as I said to you in your blood, live, I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, you matured, you became very beautiful, your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare when I passed by you again and looked upon you. Indeed, your time was the time of love, so I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood and anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. That was just like Jordan's back then. You wanted some sandals of badger skin. Those are good shoes. I clothed you with fine linen. I covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. This baby that was abandoned, this baby that was thrown out, that nobody cared for, what does the Lord do? The Lord speaks life, and the Lord brings life. He washes and cleanses us. He clothes us. That's what Jesus did. What happened? Because of his blood, because of the cross, what happens? We're washed, we're clothed, we're covered. He saw us. He saw everything. He saw your shame. He saw your nakedness. He saw everything. Everyone else passed by you. Everyone else threw you out. Nobody else wanted you. But he said, I want you. I feel the Holy Spirit coming into this room right now and speaking that over somebody. He adores you. He clothes you. He cares for you. He washes you and he gives you oil. He gives you his Holy Spirit. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. There's one thing I see here too. It says, he saw this baby struggling and he spoke life. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Hebrews 5 says this, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from when he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Obedience matters. Do you see that? Obedience matters. And was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. You no longer even try. You don't. Some of you are here today. You just stopped trying. You're stepping into a new season, though. You can start trying. You can start trying today. When you go home, pick up the Word. Open up the Word. Just look at the book of John. Just begin to read from chapter 1 all the way to the end. Just begin to read the Word today. Open up the Word and read today. Just begin to try. It's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. I'm just believing that won't be anyone in here. There won't be another person that steps into this house that says, I'm not going to try anymore. No. It's going to be different. It's going to change. Your life will never be the same again if you just try. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, there's an expectation here. You don't just stay where you are. In fact, eventually, what do you become? You become a teacher. You become a teacher. I don't care who you are, where you are in life, there's somebody you can teach. There's somebody you can walk in to their next step, into that next level, into that next season, into that new season God is calling them into. Some of you are parents. You're a teacher. Some of you are actually teachers. You're a teacher. Some of you are doctors. You're a teacher. Some of you are nurses. Some of you are lawyers. You're a teacher. Teach. Begin to teach. There's somebody in your life that God has brought into your life that you can speak life into, that you can teach. But these people, they weren't becoming teachers. In fact, it says you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. They just stayed babies in the field. They never grew. They never matured. They missed out on thriving. They got the gospel message. They heard who Jesus was. There's so many in the church today who have heard who Jesus was. They've said he's Lord. But then they were content to just stay there. And they never grew, they never matured, and they're not thriving. And they wonder, why do I keep going through the same thing over and over? Why do I keep struggling with the same sin over and over? He wants you to step into a new season, but you got to start trying. You got to say yes. You got to step into obedience. You got to step into sacrifice. There's something that you're not willing to give up, and he's saying, just trust me, give that up. Walk away from that. You don't need that. You don't need that relationship. You don't need that friendship. You don't need that movie. You don't need that TV. You don't need that app anymore. If you want to grow, delete Instagram and Facebook off your phone. Then all of a sudden, you got a whole lot more time to get into the Word. Trust me, I know. Trust me, I know. I'm speaking from experience. There's still times. I don't have those apps on my phone. There's times I'll pull out my phone and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, it's just like old instinct, right? I'm like looking, I'm like, I don't even have anything to do on here anymore. Okay. Like, I'll put it right back down. I'm like, all right, great. I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm free. I can go do something that matters. I can go sit with the Lord. I can go pray in the Spirit. I can go read his word. I can go take a walk. I can go do something and move forward and advance and stop sitting in the same place I've always been because I don't want to be a baby anymore. This isn't a church of babies. This isn't a church where you're going to stay in the same place where you came in. This is a church where you're going to grow, you're going to mature, and you're going to thrive. Don't you want to thrive? Repent, revive, and thrive. That was something the Lord gave us at the very beginning of this church. It all starts with repentance. We're going to have a moment of ministry time here at the end. The worship team is about to come up. They're going to start playing behind me. Go ahead, worship team. You can come on up. Let's get ready to worship. Our ministry team is going to be up here. If you want prayer, if you just need to confess something, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's something powerful that happens in confession and repentance. It changes things. It transforms things. You will never be the same. If you don't want to stay where you're at today, if you want to move forward with him, if you want to advance, in Matthew 11, 12, it says the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. If you're not advancing, I don't think you're a part of the kingdom of heaven. I wish that you were either hot or cold. You're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out, he says. Because why? You're not even advancing. You're not moving. If you're hot, you know you're moving. You know you're hot. You know you're running. If you're cold, at least you know you're cold. And you know you're far. You're far from the heat of heaven. And then all of a sudden, one day you'll wake up and be like, I'm sick of being cold. I'm sick of being sick and tired. I'm sick of walking in the curse. I want to walk in the blessing. But if you're lukewarm, you don't know what you are. You're just kind of sitting there. You're apathetic today. You don't feel a thing. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would feel something right now, that they feel the heat of heaven, and that they would want it. They would desire it. They would desire you, Jesus. I pray that you desire the heat of heaven today, that you'd get a holy hunger in you, that you'd start running after him, that you'd start trying, that you'd start eating the word. He's good. He's faithful and just. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Can you imagine a grown man still just living on milk? I love meat. I love steak. I love chicken. I love hamburger. I love it all. I can't, if somebody told me, oh, here's some milk, I'd be like, get out of here. If I come over to your house and you just give me a glass of milk and say, here, enjoy dinner, see you later. We're not even friends. We're not even friends. You didn't give me steak? Come on. I got one person that like that. Hey, praise the Lord. Hey, the rest of you, you'll get that later. Or you're vegan and, I don't know, you'll repent someday. The Lord said it's good. Eat. Solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature. You know... How many times are people like, wow, you're preaching from that book or that book or that book, like Ezekiel, Haggai? Can't you just keep it simple? Can't you stay in the New Testament? It's all good. It's all meat. But some of us, we've just been eating the same meal year after year after year, and we've never tried anything else that the Word has to offer. And so when the Lord puts something on me, I'm saying, all right, yes, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. We're going to go there. We're going to read from Haggai today. We're going to read from Ezekiel today. We're going to read from Zephaniah. I'm going to read from every minor prophet that half the church has never even heard of. Praise the Lord, because there's so much meat from the front to the back to the back to the front. Eat the meat. It's good for you. It's good for you. He wants to mature you today. He wants to grow you up today. You're not a baby anymore. You're not leaving here a baby drinking the same milk you've been drinking year after year. Some people, they come on Christmas and Easter because they want to hear the same scripture year after year. I want to hear this story and this story, and I know what the pastor's going to do. You come to revival on Christmas and Easter, and you're like, what the heck was that? That wasn't what I was expecting. There's a lot of other churches. You can go, and that's fine. But if you want to grow, if you want to mature, if you want to thrive, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's doing a good work in this house. And this is a house where He's going to build you up. If you stay here very long, you're not going to be the same person in 3 weeks. You're not going to be the same person in 3 months or 3 years. There's people in this house that started with us at the very beginning. And I'm telling you, if you would have told them some of the things that they're going to believe and think about the Word of God, if you would have told them on day one, they would have been like, hell no, that ain't going to be me. Praying in tongues, yeah, right. That was me. On day one, I was like, praying in tongues, whatever. Some of you, you're still kind of like, praying in tongues? What is this guy talking about? Read the Word. Read the book of Acts. It's still for the church today, for the building up and edifying of the saints. Because He wants strong, mature warriors. He doesn't want babies anymore. And so when we talk about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, it says, Paul tells us that there's a building up, there's a strengthening that happens of your inner man. You get strong when you're praying in the Spirit. We want a strong church. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can do that today. You can come forward. We'll pray for you to receive that today. You're going to get strong today. Oof. Ezekiel 3, verse 1. Stone four. Here's stone four for you. Moreover, he said to me, some of y'all are like, he told the worship team to come up. I thought he was ending soon. There's no rules. There's no game plan there. Yeah. Churches are dying by the systems of men. You show up here and you'll be like, clearly that guy does not have a system. You're right. I got the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit. That's all I got. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From day one when this church started, me and Pastor Andrew, we were talking church planning years ago, and we were like, oh, we know everything to do. We know all the systems. We know everything we should do. And from day one, the Lord just kept telling us and telling us and telling us, nope, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And we're like, so you want us to do a bunch of stuff that we don't know how to do, Lord? Yeah, do that. Yeah, do that. That's for somebody right here. You've been trying to do this. You've been trying to live your life by the systems of this world. You need to start living it by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do that. You're going to need Him in this next season. You're coming into a new season. Say yes to Him. Even if it looks crazy, even if it looks insane to the rest of the world, say yes to Him. I'm telling you, Pastor Andrew and I, we're having more fun than we ever had in the previous 12, 13 years that we did ministry, when we knew all the game plans and the playbooks and the systems, and we had it all, and we read all these books. 10 ways to grow your ministry. Shut up. Shut up. Consultants are a bunch of people that failed, all right? It's like all these consultants out here, all these church consultants. Oh, I can help you grow your church. Yeah, you just got to pay me $10,000. I'll come in. I'll give you a system. There's people like this out there. And they'll come in and they'll help you grow your church. They're just doing this because they failed at their last church. All right? I'm just too real right now. Hey, bless them. Bless them. All right? There's going to be some consultant watching this on YouTube someday, and they're going to be like, that's hurtful but true. Hey, consultant watching this on YouTube, you got a new season ahead of you. Start listening to the Holy Spirit. You got a new season ahead of you. Start listening to the Holy Spirit. He's coming on so strong in this moment. Listen to his voice each day, even if it looks crazy. All right, Ezekiel 3. Hey, I love you. I love you. I love you. Pastor Steph got up here in the beginning. Once again, if you're following along in Rev notes, you're like, this isn't in the notes. Yeah, yeah, I know. Pastor Steph got up here in the beginning, and she said, for some reason, you know, Pastor Alex, he always asked me to do this on Christmas and Easter, and the devil attacks her voice over and over. The devil will try to attack you and make you insecure and try to get you to hide the greatest weapon that God has put inside of you. Do you understand that, church? The place where he's attacking you, it's the greatest place. It's the strongest place that the Lord wants to bring out of the ground. He wants to grow it. He wants to mature it. He wants it to thrive. And I'm telling you, it's going to thrive in this next season. It's going to thrive in this next season. The devil's been attacking you for years. There were people that spoke over you and said, oh, you don't have a good voice. You can't sing. You can't lead worship. There were people that worked on behalf of the devil, and they spoke those lies over you because the devil knew. The devil knew the weapon that was inside of you. It's a great weapon, man of God. It's a great weapon, man of God. The devil wants you to hide the very weapon that God wants you to use to thrive in this next season. What's that place of insecurity within you? What's that place of insecurity within you right now that he's been trying to get you to bury, that he's been trying to shame you on, that he's been trying to guilt you on, that he's been trying to tell you lies on? I break it off in the name of Jesus right now. I break it off in the name of Jesus. And then in this next season, your gift is going to spring forth. It's going to spring forth quick and mighty in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is going to get all the glory. They're going to say there's no other way except through Jesus. There's no other way except through the Holy Spirit. In this next season, you're going to thrive because of the gift inside of you, the Holy Spirit. He's coming alive. He's bringing dead bones back to life. Come on. You know that, right? That's why he came after you. That's why he tried to cut you down. Prophesy to the dry bones. Where people see dry bones, you speak life. Where you see a baby that is weak and crying alone in the field, what's the Lord say? The Lord says, live. Live. He's speaking that over you today. Live in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I couldn't script that if I tried. Ezekiel 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth. He's not going to do it for you. You got to try. Some of you, you're just sitting like this. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. When you wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow, when the Holy Spirit wakes you up, he's going to wake you up at 5 a.m. before your kids wake up, before your spouse wakes up, and you're going to go and you're going to go sit alone with him. And what are you going to do? You're going to open your mouth. You're going to open the Word of God. Eat. Before you eat eggs, before you eat bacon, before you eat sausage, eat the bread of life. Gosh, yeah. Come on, I got one person here today. That's all right. All we need is one. But I think we got more than that. So I opened my mouth. He caused me to eat the scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate. And it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. His word is like honey. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Stone 4 is eat the word. Stone 5, speak the word. Speak the word. You've been eating a meal, but you've been holding it in. Speak it. Speak it. Just begin to declare the word. He gave you the stone. Use it. When the giant comes, when doubt comes, speak the word right back to him. Speak it. You got to eat it so you can speak it. Some of you just been eating. You've just been eating. You've been eating, 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 eating. You're getting fat. You're getting obese. You're getting lazy. You got to start to speak. Speak in the name of Jesus. Declare it. Declare life. Doubt, leave in the name of Jesus. Speak it. Doubt, leave in the name of Jesus. Woo. I told you, in this season, I keep coming back to this passage, 1 Samuel 22. It says, David, when he was on the run from King Saul, he left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Those who were in distress, in debt, and discontented. David didn't just say, this is who they are. This is who they're always going to be. This is who they were born to be. David prophesied over these men. He saw something that nobody else could see. He spoke life over these men. These men who were in distress and debt and discontented, they're the same men that later on in the Bible are referred to as David's mighty warriors. I'm speaking life over you today. I'm believing there's a warrior in here. You might be in distress today, but you won't be tomorrow. You might be in debt today, but you won't be tomorrow. You might be discontent today, but you won't be tomorrow. You won't be when you leave this room. You will never be the same in the name of Jesus. I believe that for you. I believe that for you today. That's why he came. You don't have to stay the same anymore. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. You're one of his mighty warriors. You've been invited in. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These are the names of David's mighty warriors. Josheb, Bashebeth, a Tehakamite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. One man against 800. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahoite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pos-Timon for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. His hand froze to the sword. I pray that your hand would freeze to the sword. I pray that you would pick up the sword today. I pray that you pick up the stones today. I pray that it would freeze to the sword today, that you would never put it down, that you'd hold on to it all the days of your life. In the name of Jesus, that you would declare it in the valleys, that you declare it to the dry bones, that you would speak it to the dead and see the dead come to life in the name of Jesus. Would you stand up today, church? If you've got a Bible, pick it up, hold it. Let your hand freeze to the sword today. Lord Jesus, let our hands freeze to your word today. If you don't have a word, if you don't have a sword, we'll get you one when you leave today. We got free ones. We'll hand them out there. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for victory. Lord, thank you that we're no longer babies covered in blood in the field, but we have grown. We are growing. We have matured. We are maturing. We thrive, and we are thriving all the days of our lives in your name, Jesus. That we're becoming warriors in your name, Jesus. That our hand will freeze to your word, that we won't put it down all the days of our life, that we'll take it and we'll cut through the lies of the enemy. We'll cut through the battle lines. We'll cut through the 800. We will serve you all the days in your name, Jesus. Teleion means completeness. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are building up a bride that is complete. You're building up a bride that is beautiful and strong and flourishing. There's so many people trying to tear down the church, saying, oh, the church isn't what it's supposed to be. And we keep listening to those lies of the devil. No, the church is becoming what it was meant to be. In the name of Jesus, we believe that. We declare that. We'll never be the same again when we leave this place, Lord. We're going to try. We're going to open. We're going to eat. We're going to pick up the stones. We're going to pick up the sword all the days of our lives. And we're going to declare who you are. Right now, as we come into this moment of worship, I pray for anyone in here that is struggling with their identity, that is struggling with who they are, who they've been, that they could never be. Lord, I pray that they would come alive right now, that they would just declare you as Lord, that they would just say it, that they would speak it. Just confess, Jesus, you are Lord. Believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead. You will be saved. It starts there. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that we come to you in worship and that we would just give you our all. That devils would flee, that people would be healed, set free, and delivered in your name, Jesus. That they would move forward into a new season. That we just say yes to this new season. In fact, right now, all God's people, just say yes and amen right here. 1, 2, 3. Yes and amen. Let's worship. Let's worship, church. Come on. Serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. First and foremost, is your name written in heaven? Have you confessed him as Lord? If not, get to the altar today. Don't miss out on this moment. Confess Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart. You'll be saved. It tells us that in Romans 10. That's where you need to start. If you haven't been born again, you just need to be born again. That's where it starts. Don't miss this moment. This is a moment today. He's saying this is a time, this is a chance, this is the opportunity. You're sick of getting trampled on. It's time to step in and trample him. You get a trample on the serpents. You get a trample on the scorpions. You get a trample over the demons. They don't get a right to you anymore. If you're sick of getting trampled on, become a son, become a daughter today. It starts with confession. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. Secondly, it's time to grow. If you're sick, staying right where you've been. If you're sick of feeling weak and helpless to the enemy's attacks, if you feel like it's just over and over, one defeat, one loss after another, and you're not going from glory to glory, but you're going from defeat to defeat to defeat, I'm telling you today, he's got a different plan for you. I'm telling you today, he wants you to step out of that field and into dominion. He wants you to stomp on the serpents and scorpions. To put the devil under your feet, you got to sit at his feet. That's what I want to challenge you with this week. Will you sit at his feet? As you begin to sit at the feet of Jesus, as you choose what Mary chose, to sit at the feet of Jesus rather than getting caught up with everything in the world that Martha was distracted by, if you will sit at the feet of Jesus, the devil will be under your feet. He won't be able to touch you. You're seated in heavenly places. We're going to continue to worship. We'll have ministry time going. If you got to get going, go ahead. Get out of here. Get to Easter brunch. Do whatever you got to do. Some of you, hey, I'm just believing. I'm believing it's a new season. Some of you, we haven't seen you in a long time. We haven't seen you since Christmas. I'm going to see you next week. I'm going to give you a hug, and I'm going to say, praise the Lord, because it's a new season, and you'll never be the same again. I believe that for you in the name of Jesus. You will never be the same again. Don't miss this moment. We're going to continue in worship. If you need to go get your kids, if you want to bring your kids up to worship with you, do that. We're going to continue to worship. Don't miss this moment to say yes to Jesus. Get up here.